Welcome to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Hawks Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and shoresportsnetwork.com. Each week during the season, Coach Callahan and Matt Harmon will talk Hawks football with a look back to the past Saturday's game and a glance ahead to what's coming up. The show is broadcast live from Jack's Goal Line Stand in West End, and you're invited to be part of the action. Now, let's get the latest on the Monmouth Hawks from Matt and Coach Cal.
And we welcome you in on a Tuesday night here from the West End Jack's Goal Line Stand. Matt Harmon and the head coach of the Hawks, Kevin Callahan, as Monmouth comes in off a bye in an identical 3-2 record, which they had a week ago. And as we say, good evening here. And it's another kind of rainy Tuesday. I said last week it seems to rain every Tuesday, and today is absolutely no different. We got some feedback coming in here. We'll see if we can fix that. Coach, first of all, good evening, and it's always good to be back in here. A week off last week, so let's start with that before we get into our guests this evening, which will be Brandon Maxwell and Billy Louch, and we'll obviously spend some considerable time on Cornell and look back at the week that was in the North. Some guys get some time off, which is probably well deserved.
I said this last week on the show that I felt it came at a great time. It's really the midpoint of the season. We played five games. We have six remaining. And I think it came at a time where we had just come off some very physical games. So it gave us an opportunity to rest a little bit. It gave us an opportunity when we did practice to, you know, develop some of our younger players. And also go back to fundamentals and work on some basics in a lot of positions where I felt we needed to. So I felt we had a very successful week off. The biggest thing that it does give you, it gives you that chance to rest. And if you have some players who are, it gives them an opportunity to rest up and get healthy. And I think that's what it did. We really had a terrific practice today. You know, we're back in the game week mode right now. It was our first day back on the field, as we have Mondays as our off day. And I was really pleased with the way that we practiced today. Very happy with the attitude, very happy with the energy that the kids brought to the field today.
How much attention, and I know you always pay attention to it, but on a bye week for the coaches as well, so, you know, it's not necessarily last week you didn't have a game to break down film-wise, or does it give you extra time to look at this week's opponent, or do you start advanced scouting a little bit for teams that will come later on in the season?
Well, it gave us extra time to work on this week's opponent, which is Cornell. What we did is, you know, we came in after the Albany game, and we immediately broke that film down, met with the team, discussed that, so that game was over. Then we had 2 days last week where we went out on the field, and as I mentioned, we held some players out, but really worked on fundamental development, younger players, getting back to basics a little bit. But we also had time, because there wasn't a game on this last Saturday, to start the advanced work on Cornell. So come this Sunday when we came into the office, really all the work on Cornell was done. We only had the one game, their most recent game against Harvard, that we had to break down and put into the computer and look at. But we had our game plans. We're pretty far advanced as we came in on Sunday.
So it's not taking that extra time and looking ahead to Bryant or Duquesne or some of the teams that might come up on the schedule in November.
No, it was really a time when we devoted to Cornell. The other thing that we do during the off week is we really get back and spend a large amount of time on recruiting. We meet every week on recruiting. Thursday is our day when we do that as a staff, but we had extra time on Thursday that we could devote to recruiting, and I think that was very helpful as well.
When you look at, we usually do this towards the end, but since Monmouth didn't necessarily have a game to talk about in our opening segment, we can take a peek at what the NEC did last weekend. And at some point in that halftime locker room, I guess Albany flipped the switch because they were trailing Bryant 14-7, then come out and knock off the Bulldogs 31-14. 5-1 now overall, but again undefeated in the league, and could have been a bit of a hangover effect. I mean, not that you can play coach for their team, but they came off an emotional game against Monmouth, which was a win, but still a rivalry game, and they go in and kind of sleepwalk a little bit through that first half, but then looked like they kind of turned it on in the second
half.
They
did turn it on, and if you look at the game statistically, which I have, you know, Albany really dominated in all phases, even though they were trailing at the half and were down at 1:14-0, they were in control of the game, and you know, reading between the lines and the statistics, I think there was a situation where they committed some turnovers. They were moving the ball but turned it over. gave Bryant some short fields, which they were able to take advantage of, and hence their 14-0 lead. But as you said, as we came back after the intermission, you know, Albany really got it going on all cylinders and put it to them.
Not the most exciting game on the scoreboard, but a good win for a team that has really come on since Monmouth played them, and that is Wagner, who beat Sacred Heart, who fell to 1-4. Wagner now 3-3 overall. They beat the Pioneers 12-3. They are now 3-1 in league play, and it seems to be a different football team since when Monmouth played them a couple weeks ago.
I said to our coaching staff last week that I think they're starting to hit their stride a little bit. I noticed that the quarterback, Nick Dosier, has had a couple of pretty good games. They seem to have gotten the running back, Williams, on track a little bit. And, you know, they've got three wins in a row now, so, you know, they're really starting to play well.
One other game, which we've said it now week in and week out, continues to be the surprise team of the Northeast Conference, maybe no longer a surprise anymore. St. Francis, Pennsylvania, beat Robert Morris for the first time in, I think, almost forever. You know,
right.
It was one of those games that one of those close rivalry games that Robert Morris has dominated, but St. Francis at home in the Pine Bowl wins that game 10-3. All of the scoring taking place in the second quarter. So again, maybe not the most exciting of games, but St. Francis at 3-3, in terms of successful teams, has to be the surprise of the league.
There's no question about it. You know, I've been tracking their scores and watching what they're doing, and I know that they're running the ball very well. I have not seen any of the video from the Robert Morris game, but just watching how they're playing and the teams that they're beating, I'm impressed with them. They're doing a very good job up there. They're a very dangerous team.
Take a look at the league standings right now, and things will start to balance out a little bit as teams will either have byes coming up this week, and those were the only three games that were involving NEC teams, so there were some other teams that were off last week in addition to Monmouth. Albany still leads the league at 3-0. Duquesne at 2-0. Those two teams still have to play one another in addition to Monmouth playing Duquesne on the 27th of October out in Pittsburgh. Wagner right now with 3-1. Monmouth and St. Francis PA at 2-1. Sacred Heart 1-2. And three teams still looking for their first win in league play. Robert Morris and Central Connecticut State 0-2. And Bryant is 0-4. Both CCSU and Bryant still looking for their first win overall the season as well at 0-5 and 0-6 for Bryant. So again, the way coach things shake up, I would imagine now, for the players and maybe a bit for the coaches, I mean, there will be that scoreboard watching, you'd have to think, right? I mean, as much as you as coaches probably preach, hey, we've got to take care of our own stuff and we can only worry about games that we've been playing, especially in a bye week. I'm sure everyone was at some point, you know, saw, oh, Bryant's knocking off Albany. That would be great for everybody in the league, including Monmouth. But, you know, there has to be a natural tendency to every once in a while you look at the scoreboard and see what everybody else is doing.
Well, sure. I think especially, you know, if you look at our guys, I mean, we need help. We need somebody to, you know, knock Albany off here to get a share of the championship as long as we take care of, as you said, our business. So everybody's always curious. They have one eye on that, saying, all right, who's playing well? Is Albany behind in the game? I think that's natural as long as we take care of our business each and every week. And I think, you know, we had the open week a week ago. This week we have Cornell. We have a non-conference game. So, you know, there's going to be more things happening within the league that we can before we play our next Northeast Conference game.
Is it good that off of a bye week you have a non-conference game? I mean, I hate to say it's like another week off because, of course, you want to win the football game, but there's not that pressure of league play a little bit.
When it comes to league play, I think that there's an advantage to it. I think, you know, we had the bye week and we talked about all the things and the positive progress that we made during that particular week. And now we go non-conference. So we hit the field again. We get back into up to game speed, so to speak. And it's a non-conference game. It's a very important game to us. It's a game, you know, we certainly are very excited about and are going to go, you know, give it our best shot to win the game, but it's still a non-conference game in that respect.
We'll have plenty of time to break down Cornell coming up in our last segment. We will take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll get into our guest tonight. Among the players who are here, Brandon Maxwell and Billy Louts. We'll also spend some time with strength and conditioning coach Tim Ream, who's going to have to break away from the table and the wings going on over there, and he'll join us right after this quick timeout. We step out of here for 2 minutes. You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
For those with a strong desire to just keep on driving their Chevy Cruze Eco. With an EPA-estimated 42 mpg highway, it charges ahead with the best highway mileage of any gas engine in America. And Cruze does it all while keeping safety a top priority. In fact, it was named an IIHS 2012 top safety pick for all its safe-conscious efforts. And like the best of the best, Cruise can really steal the show. No wonder it is named the Consumer's Digest Best Buy for 2012. Find out more at ChevyOffers.com.
Toppit Frozen Yogurt Bar is the official frozen dessert of Monmouth University Athletics and the sponsor of Hawkstars, MU Athletics' new kids club. With two great locations at 638 Ocean Avenue in Long Branch and on Main Street in Freehold, Toppit invites you to treat yourself nice today with their delicious frozen yogurt and fresh toppings. Present your game ticket at the counter and receive 10% off of your order. And keep your eyes open around Monmouth's campus for their new Yogurt Mobile, a fully functioning, on-the-go frozen yogurt supplier. Visit them online at ToppitNJ.com.
The Monmouth Hawks are leaders on the field, just as Barnabas Health is New Jersey's healthcare leader. Barnabas Health has New Jersey covered with great facilities all over the state, including Monmouth Medical Center and Children's Hospital in Long Branch, Kimball Medical Center in Lakewood, and the Behavioral Health Center and Community Medical Center in Toms River. Premier Healthcare is one call or click away at 1-888-724-7123 or barnabashealth.org. Barnabas Health, every day extraordinary. The Asbury Park Press brings the Monmouth and Ocean County sports scene to life. Only the Asbury Park Press covers local teams, players, and schools like the Monmouth Hawks, both on and off the field. For all things Jersey Shore, subscribe to the press. To subscribe to the Asbury Park Press, give them a call at 1-800-822-9779 or visit app.com/subscribe. The Asbury Park Press, your news any way you want it, wherever you are. You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Hawks Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and at shoresportsnetwork.com.
And we welcome you back here from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End. Monmouth coming up this week, non-conference game against Cornell from the Ivy League, one of five games involving NEC teams. Duquesne will play at Central Connecticut State, St. Francis, Pennsylvania at Albany, Robert Morris at Bryan, and another non-conference game, Sacred Heart squaring off against Dartmouth. So the bye week now all wrapped up, and this guy, our first guest of the night, maybe as important of a time for him in the bye week to get some guys healthy and make sure that everyone is up and running. He is strength and conditioning coach Tim Ream, who's good enough to give us a few minutes here tonight. Tim, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thanks for having me, Matt. I'm doing very well.
Well, I appreciate you swinging by. In your fifth year here now at Monmouth, you have worked obviously extensively with the football team, among other programs here on campus. First of all, why don't you give everyone a quick job description? What does a college strength and conditioning coach do?
Well, we wear a lot of hats. We basically, we work with all of the sports at Monmouth University. One of my responsibilities being football. And basically, our number one thing is just to help them make that transition from high school to college sports. It's a faster game. It's just a more intense game, and just physically we have to get them there. So just increasing strength, increasing their speed, their endurance, and you know, the number one thing probably being injury prevention. We try to keep our guys, you know, just safe and healthy so that they can last the whole season and, you know, and just be effective the whole way through.
I know that you deal with all classes, freshmen all the way through when student athletes graduate, but how important is it when you get those freshmen, knowing that a lot of them have a fifth year of eligibility? If Monmouth decides they want them for a fifth year and the players want to stick around for 5 years, you can almost like take that piece of clay and start to mold it a little bit, right? I mean, when you get a young offensive, defensive lineman in that needs to add 15, 20, 25 pounds, I mean, is it a bonus to know that you might have them for 5 years rather than four?
Absolutely. I mean, we get started right away. And the good thing about our freshmen is that they come in, some of them may not necessarily be playing right away, so we can use the fall as essentially an off season where we can really get after it 3 to 4 times a week and really set the foundation for all the work that we're going to put in down the road. So right now, for example, a lot of our veterans, they're only working out 2 times a week because they're in season. They're, you know, just practicing a lot, and football consumes a lot of the time. But with the freshmen, since they're not playing necessarily so much, we can really take advantage of that time and really make a lot of use of it. We're already starting to increase the strength and put on some weight for some of these guys and just build upon the frames that they come in with.
And it's a good introduction for the young guys, particularly the freshmen, Tim, that it's their first time in a college weight training program, and there's a lot that goes into it. And I think some of the techniques that Tim utilizes in the weight room in his program, but also the discipline of having to work out on a scheduled routine. It's something very different than many of them were exposed to on a high school level.
You know, Coach, I mean, short of yourself, and I know that, you know, a defensive coach can certainly have a conversation with an offensive player, but things are broken down so specific position-wise, and short of maybe special teams where everyone might get lumped in, short of you, Tim's probably one of the few guys who deals with everybody. I mean, he has responsibilities up and down the roster where another, you know, coach X, Y, and Z might not deal with another player, but Tim has to deal with everybody.
That's very true, regardless of the position, regardless of the side of the ball they're on, whether or not they're a specialist. You know, Tim is working with them, and Tim's workouts are position-specific, particularly when we get into the winter months and the early spring months. And, you know, there's a core group of exercises that Tim puts together that everybody does, but he's also trying to get the players stronger and improve their skills as it relates to their specific position group.
Tim, how different is, let's say, the quarterback workout, wide receiver workout, as opposed to an offensive or a defensive lineman?
Well, like Coach kind of alluded to, we start out with a basic program with just the fundamental things that we have everyone in our program do. We have everyone squat, we have everyone clean, we have everyone bench press. But then as we start to get more specific, quarterback, for example, has to be, you know, strong in their shoulder. We need to take good care of their shoulders and have them increase throwing strength. So we'll do extra shoulder stuff for them. You know, then you compare that to, say, an offensive lineman. We'll do things more specifically for just building that bulk and that explosion out of their stance. They don't have to be running all over the field. It's more crucial for them to be able to burst out and have ultimate energy and power right there. So, you know, that's really where we kind of make the divide. But a lot of what we do, like I said, focuses around a fundamental of Olympic and power training. But at the same time, we're also able to get very specific with different positions and really take advantage of that.
And one of the other things that Tim does as well that I'm particularly very pleased about is he spends a lot of time developing the core of the athletes. And, you know, we have found over the years, recent history, how important the core muscle group is to athletic performance. So it's not just about getting on the rack and doing a squat or laying down on the bench and doing a bench press. That core strength is extremely important, and we spend a lot of time on that.
Tim, what's one exercise or one activity that you have the football players do that when it was first introduced, they look at you and say, why the heck are we doing this? This has nothing to do with football.
Well, we have, one thing, a very common exercise is the back squat. So, you know, you could probably find people all over the country doing back squats. But one of the things we introduced to them was a single leg back squat. So you kind of introduce the whole concept of balance, and, you know, it's definitely a tougher exercise to do. And when people have never done it before, they're falling all over the place. And the hardest part is just really getting balanced with one foot on the ground, but a bar on your back as well. So some of them look at me like, are you serious? Are you really going to have me do this? But then as we go on, it actually turns into one of our fundamental lifts because, you know, like most sports, you know, when you're running around, it's one leg at a time. So instead of just having 2 feet on the ground, we progress it to one leg. And, you know, it's something that we really feel, is a huge component of what we do.
Some injuries, obviously, you can't avoid. I mean, it's just the nature of athletics and certainly the nature of football. When you see a player maybe have chronic hamstring issues, chronic muscle pulls, do you treat that player differently than you would other players who might be in that same group?
Yeah, we try to identify deficiency with that person. So, you know, if you have a hamstring, then, you know, maybe the hamstring is weak. Maybe the quad is almost too strong and kind of, you know, overcompensating for the hamstring. So, you know, we want to really get to the root of the problem, and we have different ways of doing that, whether it be flexibility or, like I said, maybe it's a strength deficit and we have to work on increasing that. But you know, we'll take it a case-by-case basis. All of our student-athletes are individuals, and we have to treat them that way. So, you know, commonly we'll see that. And that's kind of the fun part, too, kind of diagnosing what's wrong. And then, you know, you have this huge box of ways, of exercise and stuff, and then you got to pick the right one that's going to fix the problem.
Tim Reams with us here on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. Tim in his fifth year working with the Monmouth Strength and Conditioning Program. You know, I think and this might be a strange question, but I'll ask it anyway. I think so much of the influence of football when guys come in is to gain weight. Do you ever have guys that you say, hey, we gotta knock a couple pounds off?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Absolutely. We get a lot of guys, especially freshmen that come in, they still kind of have that, we call it baby fat. You know, they come in and, you know, and some of them really haven't been introduced to a conditioning program at all. So they come in and they're relatively new at it. So there are a lot of guys that we have to lean out, you know, maybe some of our big-bodied offensive, defensive linemen, and we try to just lean them out but still increase the strength. Just because you're big doesn't mean you're strong. So we like to get guys who can slim down a little bit. They can run faster, but they can still maintain that strength. And, you know, it's just a matter of finding the fine line between, you know, strength and speed that makes it optimal for playing football.
Coach, what is your role with Tim? Does Tim come to you and give you a plan and you say, hey, that looks good? Or are you kind of more, hey, I'm putting a lot of trust in what we're doing, and obviously we're going to have discussions about it, but you're the expert when it comes to this.
Well, I'm not the expert when it comes to strength and conditioning. Tim is the
no,
expert
I mean.
When it comes
Tim,
to that
Tim,
area.
Tim is the expert in it.
But what we try to do is, you know, Tim puts together our program that our players train by. What Tim and I get together at the beginning of the year, and we kind of outline the calendar. And these are the days that we're going to practice. These are the days that we would like to get lifts in. It's particular, even starting in the preseason period. We'll put the preseason calendar on the table, and we'll look. I said, Tim, where do we need to get our lifts in here? Do we need to lift in the morning, or is an afternoon better? And then I start molding the practice schedule around that. Then we talk about the in-season program, how we like all of our first-year players to lift three times a week so that they get acclimated to our weight training program, as Tim was talking about. Our veteran players are going to lift twice a week during that time. And then where we really work together is when we get into the winter and spring months. Starting with the spring semester in January, you know, we put together the conditioning and the strength training program, and they go hand in hand, and we'll talk about, you know, what's the best way to accomplish that. And, you know, I rely on Tim's expertise a great deal in that area, saying, Tim, do we want to, you know, lift 4 days a week and condition three mornings a week, or do we want to go 2 days of conditioning in some weeks? And in this last year, we kind of changed it up a little bit, so we work together on that. And then once we have the calendar or the general format set, I leave it up to Tim to really put the workouts together. Last spring, we had a very mild winter. We actually took our guys down to the beach here. We have the greatest resource in the world. We have the biggest sand pit in the world right here to train on. And Tim put workouts together where we could take our entire team down there and work in the soft sand.
I mean, you do have that advantage, right, Tim? I mean, to use something like the sand, or on the flip side, if a school was in the mountains, let's say, you could do different things based off of the surrounding area that you're around.
Absolutely. I mean, I think creativity is essential if you're going to be a strength conditioning coach. You have these things that come at you all the time, and you need to kind of figure out what the best way to deal with it is. As Coach said, having the sand pit just a mile down the road is a tremendous advantage that we have. And we do a lot of just tough workouts out there. I mean, it's physically exhausting, and it's also mentally exhausting. As with, you know, a lot of the conditioning that we do, we just find different ways to challenge the guys and see how they can react and get done what they need to do.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot. Two questions before you go back and munch with everyone, if anyone left you anything over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, doubtful.
Which position group is the most difficult to work with, that push back a little bit and say, we don't feel like doing that today?
Most difficult position group. Let's see. You know what? I'll be honest. They're all pretty good. I had to pick one. To be honest, I would say our linebackers, and not because they don't work hard, but because they're so interested in strength and conditioning by themselves that so many of them just read up on stuff, and it almost pushes me to have to really say, hey, why do I want to do this? Because they already got a whole list of things that they want to do. Like, they'll be the ones that come in and they're doing extra work. You know, Danny Sullivan, perfect example. I mean, if you see him, he's just, his physique is incredible. And he comes in, I have so many great conversations with him just about working out, because he takes such diligence in getting the information for himself and different ways to train. And I think it'd be something that he'd be very good at down the road, too.
Can you learn from the players?
Absolutely. Every day I'm learning from these guys. These guys, you know, some of them, most of them aren't certified to be strength conditioning coaches, but they'll say, hey, Tim, what if we tried this? And I'll be like, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm still young. I don't have all the answers. I'll never have all the answers, even if I'm 80 years old and still doing this. So I try to really listen to the guys, and I've gotten a tremendous amount of input and definitely implemented things that they've reminded me of.
How much, and Coach, you can answer this as well, how much misinformation is there in strength and conditioning where you as the strength and conditioning coach, you as the head coach, you guys have to kind of put your thumb down. Like you had mentioned, hey, the linebackers, they come in with their own thing and their own plan. Yeah. But it might not be what you guys want, or it might not be what's best for them. But you have to kind of throttle them back a little bit.
I think that there is misinformation out there, but probably not as much as there was maybe 10 years ago. I think athletes are so intent on improving themselves physically that they really do a great deal of research on their own and try to find the best ways to train. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, there's still a good amount of stuff that's out there. People have different ideas, and, you know, we get some people from their high schools, and maybe they train one way because their coach told them it's the best way to do it. So sometimes we have to, you know, help and, you know, fix some bad habits. But for the most part, the whole concept of strength and conditioning and sports performance is really on the rise. There are so many places. People have their own trainers when they get here. So, I mean, it's kind of refreshing to see that it's so important and people really like to do it.
And the other important aspect of it, I know that you deal with quite a bit, Tim, is the whole nutritional aspect. You know, what people are putting into their bodies, how they're maintaining their bodies. We have players who are very conscious of their calorie count. Certainly hydration is a big part of it, but that's a whole other area that Tim is involved with as well.
All right, last thing before I let you go. When I was here as a player 20 years ago, my best 40 time was like 4.8. I'm pushing 40. 4.8, coach.
4.8, okay.
Maybe 4.85.
Who is timing that?
No, it doesn't matter. It works somewhere along there. Do I have any chance of getting back to that time?
Are you,
I
mean, still running? What are you running now?
No, I couldn't even tell you the last time I did it.
All right, you know what? After this, we'll take the stopwatch outside and we'll put some cones out.
I need to work into some of the off-season workouts maybe every once in a while.
Come on, yeah, we'll get to.
You're welcome to come any day.
They're early, though,
we'll get
right?
You on the beach. We'll get you a good beach workout.
Some of them are early. You'd have to wake up early in the morning.
Yeah. I need like the late afternoon ones. Maybe I'll work into those. Tim, appreciate you coming by.
Thanks
great
a lot,
stuff.
Man.
Always,
appreciate it.
Always good to see you. Tim Ream, the strength and conditioning coach. We step out here for 60 seconds. When we come back, we'll talk some offensive line and some offensive football with senior offensive tackle Brandon Maxwell right after this quick pause. You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Mammoth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.